We're going to look at verse number 6, Mark 16 and verse 6. We read the entire passage earlier, and then we'll look at one more verse before we begin the sermon. Mark 16 and verse 6, "And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted," or don't be afraid is what he's saying. "Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you." Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful for an opportunity to worship you, to know that you're the risen Savior, to know the Holy Spirit dwells within, to know that when we pray, you hear us, to know that we live and walk in the truth. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would strengthen our faith today as we consider the account of the resurrection. Help me as I speak. Fill me with the Spirit, Father, empty me of self. Lord, pray that you would forgive for the sin of my heart. Use today to strengthen your people. And I pray that you would convince those who are not saved that you are risen, as you said, and they should trust you as their Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. One more verse together, Matthew 28 and verse 6. Matthew 28 and verse 6 is Matthew's account of the resurrection. Matthew 28 and verse 5 and 6. Verse 5 says, "And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." And this is where we get the title of the sermon, "He is risen, as he said." There is nothing that brings trust to a relationship more than somebody doing what they said they would do. When you're in a relationship with someone, a romantic relationship, a friendship, maybe a professional relationship with your boss or a coworker, and that person says something and doesn't do it, trust is broken. I find it very intriguing that when Jesus rose from the dead and instructed the angel on what to tell these women that were coming to see his body, he said, "Make sure you tell them that I rose from the dead as I said I would." Jesus pointed back to what he said. This, my friends, is the foundation of Christianity. He is risen as he said. He is risen. We can trust what he said. Amen. He is risen from the grave, and therefore what he said is trustworthy. They had seen Jesus crucified. These ladies had seen where they had laid Jesus in the tomb. They came, as it says in Mark 16 and verse number 1, they came after the Sabbath day, on the first day of the week, early in the morning, in order to honor Jesus by anointing his body with spices. A proper burial is what we would think. He was hastily buried, hastily cleaned up and wrapped up in these grave clothes, and very quickly put into a borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Very quickly. And so they were coming back after the Sabbath day, in order to give him a proper burial. They wanted to put spices on his body in order to show how much they loved him and honored him. Just like when we have a loved one that passes away, we want to treat their body with reverence and respect in order to help us allow that person to pass on. It's for us. They're gone, right? But it doesn't do anything for the body. But it does something for us to treat that body with respect. And that's what they were doing. But I want you to see here in Mark 16 and verse number 1, when they came, these ladies, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome. Look, these three ladies are kind of an odd group in a way, because you have two that are mothers of the disciples. And then you have Mary Magdalene. Go back to Mark 16 and look at verse number 9. It tells us who Mary Magdalene was. Now, when Jesus was risen, early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Only Jesus can bring together people who have lived a life in such a way that they have seven demons in them, and ladies who raised from children what would become the future apostles. Think about this. Under normal circumstances, these ladies would not be a group. But because of Jesus, because of his power, because of his forgiveness, it gives us this incredible community. I want us to think just a moment and look around the room just for a second. And look at this community. Outside of Jesus, guys, we would not be a group. Let's be honest. We wouldn't know one another. Most of us wouldn't have any reason to connect with one another and know one another. But because of Jesus, he gives us an incredible extended family. Amen. Now listen, this incredible extended family, these particular ladies, specifically this group, they were grieving. They were sad. They had gone and spent this money on these spices. And they must have gone really early for the shops. I mean, it must have been extremely early for them to have purchased these. Maybe they purchased them before, but it would make sense they purchased them. They're knocking on the door, and that's not in scripture, but I'm assuming. When did they get the spices? Maybe the day Jesus died. I don't know. It seems like they got them somehow extremely early that morning, and they come together as a group. They met up. And they met up as a group, and then they get to the tomb, and as they're on their way, they're thinking, who's going to roll this stone away? Because it wasn't a wooden door, it was a door over the mouth of this tomb that was a large stone. Who's going to roll this away for us? And they get there, they see that the stone was rolled away in verse number 4. And I'm curious what they were thinking when they saw the stone was rolled away. Was his body taken away? Did somebody steal it? Did the leaders of this, that had been foundational in him being crucified, the elders of the land, the leaders, did they make sure that his body was stolen away? And here they come into the tomb and it's empty, and there's an angel that speaks to them and gives them this message. Because Jesus rose from the dead, he gives us a different perspective on disappointment. We'll dig into this a little bit more, but I don't want to leave that alone. That money that they spent on those spices, right? Getting up super early. Going in there and thinking, this is what we're going to do. We're going to imagine this. Let me tell you something. When we realize that Jesus rose from the dead and we live in the light of that reality, it gives us a different perspective on disappointing things in life. It completely changes disappointing things in our life. He is risen as he said. Pastor, there's some things in my life that haven't gone according to plan. And maybe some in this room more than others, significantly more so. But my friend, he is risen as he said. He's got a new plan for you. Let the spices, let them go away. Don't worry about the fact you weren't able to anoint his body, my friend, because he's alive. He doesn't need spices. Amen. He's alive. He doesn't need spices. Jesus often prophesied of this event that he would rise from the dead. Matthew 16:21. And I will read this as soon as I get there for sake of time. But Matthew 16:21 says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." Here he is prophesying not only of his death, but also that he would rise the third day. Matthew 20:19. Matthew 20:19. Verse 18 says, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again." Listen, it is evidence of his being the Son of God that he was able to accurately prophesy of his coming death with the details of who would kill him. The chief priests, the elders, the scribes. That's a specific thing. He's giving these specific things. He's saying, "I'm going to be crucified. And then 3 days after that, I am going to rise again." Listen, the disciples did not believe him. They didn't understand it. They did not understand that Jesus, even though he prophesied over and over and over and over again that he would be crucified and that he would raise from the dead, they didn't understand it and they didn't believe it. And that is why that angel said, "He is risen." Hey, guys, remember what Jesus said those times before, those several and many times before? Remember what he said. Because when you finally see him, and he's going to show himself alive for 40 days, he is going to leave you with what he said. What he said is what we need. Amen. My friend, what he said is what we need. He has risen as he said. In disappointment, we need to know what he says. We need to run to his word. We need to remember what he has said to us in disappointment and in frustration. There is scriptural proof. There's eyewitness proof of his resurrection. The Bible says in Acts 1 and verse number 3, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." It wasn't just that the grave was empty. It wasn't just that an angel said he's risen as he said. It was that Jesus showed himself to his disciples on 13 different occasions. He showed himself alive. It wasn't just that the grave was empty. It wasn't just the supernatural appearing of an angel that said he is risen as he said, pointing back to the prophecy. But he himself came back to his disciples and showed himself alive. My friend, if you have faith in Christ, your faith is on a firm foundation. It is not a foolish thing to believe in him. All of reason points that it is reasonable to believe in him. He's risen as he said. Prophecy points that he is risen as he said. The supernatural appearance of the angel points to the fact that he's risen as he said. Eyewitness proof points to he is risen as he said. 1 Corinthians 15 The entire chapter of 1 Corinthians 15 covers the doctrine or the teaching of the resurrection. We'll just look at a few verses here. It says in verse 3, 1 Corinthians 15, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Remember, he is risen as he said. Why did Jesus say he was dying? For our sins. His resurrection proves why he died. His resurrection proves why he died. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures, verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Look at verse 5. And that he was seen of Cephas. He was seen of Cephas. He was seen. It wasn't just that he died according to the Scriptures. It wasn't just that he was buried. It wasn't just that he rose from the dead. He was seen. My friends, they saw him. They saw him. They saw him. The proof is there. He was seen then of the 12 in verse number 6. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Listen, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing this passage while many of these that he is pointing to were still alive. You want to check up on my story? That Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he rose again, and he was seen? He gave us a list of over 500 that we can go and check on the source. Let's talk to these 500. Let's talk to these. He's giving names. Go, and by the way, they were scattered. Go find one. Go. Matter of fact, he did that himself. We find that in the book of Galatians, chapter number 1. The Apostle Paul, after he was saved on the road to Damascus, and as he was starting the minister, he still went to Jerusalem and spoke to James and spoke to Peter. I need to know. Tell me about the time that you saw Jesus. It is a good and a right and a holy thing for you to investigate the foundations of your faith. Don't be afraid of investigating. There are a lot of doubts out there, my friends. Doubts are loud. Doubts seem so bold, so confident. Investigate. Don't just take a bold doubt as being the truth. Investigate the truth, my friends. He was seen. He was seen. He was seen of them 40 days. Secular sources point to this. Now, we don't look to secular sources for proof of the resurrection. But one historian in the first century named Josephus, this is a quotation from his writings. It says, "About this time there lived Jesus, a wise man, if indeed one ought to call him a man." Now again, Josephus was not a believer, and this was his, as a historian, this is his account. "For he wrought surprising feats. He was the Christ. When Pilate condemned him to be crucified, those who had come to love him did not give up their affection for him. On the third day he appeared, restored to life, and the tribe of Christians has not disappeared." My friend, that's me. I'm in the tribe of Christians, and we have not disappeared. Why? Because he is risen as he said. Amen. The tribe, are you a part of the tribe of Christians that believe that he is risen as he said? Do you believe he died for your sin? Do you believe that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he raised himself back to life as he said he would? As he said he would. All of us can predict one day we're going to die. We don't know how. We can all predict that. Outside of the rapture. We're all going to die one day, but none of us can predict how we're going to die. And certainly none of us can say, 3 days after I'm dead, I'm going to come back alive and I'm going to show all the people that know and love me that I'm alive. Of course not. We don't have that kind of power. That requires supernatural power to bring yourself back to life. This is not one of the a medical miracle here where someone can do CPR or someone can revive someone who appears by all appearance, they're dead, they're gone. No, there was still a little bit. No, my friends, 3 days later, he raised himself back from the dead, rolled the stone away from the tomb, and walked out. He walked out. Amen. On your worst day, remember, Jesus stands victorious over the worst that this world could do to him. And he's your Savior, and we follow our guide and our Savior through life. Amen. Yeah. He can lead us. He can guide us. He is risen, as he said. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If we believe on him for our salvation, we will have everlasting life. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We don't get that salvation that Jesus provides by getting baptized, or by trying to be a good person, or by doing good deeds, or by being a nice neighbor, or anything such as this. We must come to Christ honestly and say, "I do not have the power to save myself. I can't be a good enough person to go to heaven. I cannot earn your forgiveness by being a good enough person. The wages of sin is death. The wages of how many sins is death? How many sins does it take? One. The wages of sin is death. Who is the only one that has achieved victory over death? Christ. Who's the only one that's proven that he has achieved victory over death? Christ. And what does he do with this power? What does he do with this victory? He says, if you come and agree with his word, what he said, that you are a sinner, you cannot save yourself, he will give you eternal life as a gift. What a God. What a Savior. "For he hath made him to be sin for us." God put the sin of the world on Jesus. He knew no sin. He was completely innocent. "That we might be made the righteousness of God in him." John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." It's not that God doesn't want certain people to go to heaven. That's not true at all. Christ died for the sin of the whole world. Some people would accuse God and say, "I can't believe he would send people to hell." God doesn't send people to hell. The Bible says in John 3 and verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." The resurrection of Christ proves the reality of our condition. We're already sinners, and we're already going to die. We're going to spend eternity somewhere. Read one more verse, and then we'll go back to our passage and make a few points from Mark 16. Revelation Revelation 21 and verse number 8. Revelation 21 and verse number 8. "Well, that's fine for you, Pastor. Sounds like you really believe this stuff. Good for you. I'm so glad." Well, some people have that attitude. "Well, that's just not for me. I have my own beliefs." It's a very common thing. It's almost considered to be like a good thing to say. Like, you're a good person by saying, you can believe what you want, and that's great. I'm glad that works for you. I have my beliefs. Yeah, I have a question. Is there still wrongdoing in this world? Is there still a sense of morality in the heart of human beings that says, this is right and this is wrong? Is there a God? There is a God. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. He said in John 14, 6, I am the way. The way. I am the way. The way. The truth. And the life. And no man, no human being comes to the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. Jesus, and what does he have to back up that teaching? His resurrection. But listen, biblically, no one can force you into believing in Jesus. If you don't want to believe, that's your business. But you're certainly not going to force God into it. Amen. Are we together on this?
Yeah.
That's what he says. We can say that to one another and say, hey, if you want to believe what you want, that's your business. But the fact is that Jesus proved. He proved the truth of who he is and why he came by his resurrection. And listen, there are so many stories out there of agnostics and atheists who tried to historically and biblically prove that Christ had not risen from the dead. And guess what happens to most of them? They end up trusting Christ as their Savior because it's true. Because it's true. You have to investigate and come to that place in your heart where you fully admit it's true. And he is true. And then after you admit it's true, then you have to be willing to take the next step and say, I accept you as my Savior. It's not, yes, it's true. It's not just an intellectual consent of the facts. The facts are true. What are you going to do? Because we are saved by faith. And faith is coming to Christ and saying, yes, I believe in you for my salvation. What does he say? What happens at the end? Revelation 21 and verse number 8. But the fearful. Isn't it interesting? That's the first one. These are talking about those in the last day who end up spending eternity in hell, in judgment. The fearful. Realize there are some people, when they are approached with the truth of the resurrection of Christ, they're afraid. They're afraid. The fearful. No, 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 no. They say, no, 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 no. I don't want to talk. I don't want. No, I don't want to hear it. No, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to look. Listen. Somehow in their mind, if they think they don't look at the evidence, then somehow they're okay. The fearful. Can I tell you my story? Hey, can I hand you something to read? You know what the real meaning of Christmas is? Real meaning of Easter? You believe what you want. They always duck their head. You believe what you want. You believe. Go away. Go away. Go away. What are they scared? They're scared. Listen, don't let fear. Don't let fear stop you from spending eternity with Christ in heaven. Don't let fear stop you. I don't want to know. I don't want to give up the control of my life. My friends, he conquered death. You think he's going to hurt you? He conquered the one thing that we're all terrified of. If there was no fear of pain or death, all of the health clubs would close. Amen. All of the natural food stores, gone. human beings live every day in fear of death. And the older you get, the more intense that fear is. You start seeing friends your age. Oh, do you hear about so-and-so? Oh, man, they got cancer. The scary kind, stage 4. You start Googling cancer. Tim Hortons donuts gives you cancer. No! Just kidding. Just kidding. Just teasing. The fearful. The fearful. What are you afraid of? The one who came to heal. Don't be afraid. The one who came to conquer death. Don't be afraid. The one who came to take your sin upon himself. Don't be afraid. Amen. You're going to trust in him, and then what? Oh, my family. My friends, Jesus knows what it's like to face opposition from family who doesn't believe in him. And he can guide you into the path of righteousness and peace. Don't live your life in fear of other people. Amen. Don't live your life in fear. It's your soul that one day is going to spend eternity somewhere. That's right. I need more proof. He is risen as he said. He's risen as he said. The fearful, unbelieving. The next one. These categories. But the fearful and unbelieving. Listen, these are the people who look truth full in the face and say no. Fearful are the ones, it seems like, are this. They want to keep truth at a distance. They don't even want to look. These are the people that look truth full in the face. They know. They know he's true. They've seen Christ supernaturally in their own life. They've seen him. They've seen him answer prayers as lost people. I'll never forget in Nepal. We lived in Nepal for 7 years. Young man came to our church. And as far as I know, he's still alive, and that means he still has a chance. He had a very severe condition. Very weak, tall, lanky young man came in. Very weak, could barely walk. Started coming to church. He asked us to pray for him. We prayed for him. We didn't have some kind of weird healing service. We didn't splash him with water. We didn't do anything. We as a church simply prayed. Do we believe in the power of prayer? Yes. Why does it work? Because we serve the risen Savior. That's why. He's alive to hear and answer our prayers. And God healed him. He went back to the doctor. The condition had cleared up. Well, we've had this happen several times in our ministry. And they didn't trust Christ. At least not then. There are so many people that know it's true, and they still say no. He's risen, as he said. The unbelieving, the abominable. Are you going to preach against abominations? You know, the Bible says in Proverbs that a proud look is an abomination to God. And any other abomination is from that. Me. Me. Pride. You know, some people just don't want to recognize that God is God and they're not him. There is a God in heaven. Christ proved this when he died on the cross and rose from the dead. Only the Creator God can raise himself from the dead. The Creator of life can give himself life and come back and for 40 days prove it openly. Murderers, whoremongers. What am I seeing here? Sinners. People that enjoy sin. Idolaters. Realize before God, worshiping an idol is a sin. Falling down and worshiping or praying to an object, praying to an idol. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. It says, and all liars. Uh-oh. You say, well, I don't know if I've done any of that other stuff, but guys, come on. We've all lied. And it says murderers. We call somebody a murderer after how many times they murder somebody. You only have to murder somebody once. How many times do you have to lie by the same logic to be called a liar? God's never lied. He's not a liar. He's truth. What's their fate? Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. These are not people that want to go to heaven necessarily. These are people that don't want God. God is giving them an eternity separate from himself because that's the way they want to live their life here. He's giving them what they want. You don't want me? You don't want my son? You want to do things your own way? You want to live the life you want to live? You want to have your own beliefs? When you die, you'll have your own beliefs. Oh, Pastor, this is heavy. Guys, it is heavy. But we need a bit of heaviness. He's risen as he said. This does not have to be.
That's right. Amen.
This does not have to be. There is hope.
Amen.
There is hope.
Amen.
There is hope. 1 Peter 1:3. We're almost done. 1 Peter 1:3. First Peter. Oh man, this verse. I love it. So good. This is one of these verses that's like a multivitamin. It doesn't just point out one truth. There's like so many packed in together. You could preach a whole sermon series on this. I won't do it, but look at verse number 3 together with me. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again, born again. That's what that's talking about. It's a spiritual expression here. We're talking about being born again. It says, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Lively, living. There's a beautiful song called Living Hope. We hope to see it, sing it in church here soon. He's our living hope. Our hope is found in a person, my friend, and he is alive. Our hope is in a living person. He has born us again. We've been born again into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Amen.
Man, that's good. Yes. On my worst day, I have a living hope because Jesus rose from the dead. When I get the worst news, he's risen as he said. When I'm having the best day and I'm tempted to think that it's all because of me, he's risen as he said. Amen.
Amen.
When I'm doubting whether or not prayer works, he's risen as he said. I've been born again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Man. Verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. My friend, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you have an inheritance one day in heaven. We're going to be with him. What's the proof of that, my friend? He is risen as he said.
Amen.
He will raise us in like manner up to be with him. Those of us who are going to be alive when he comes back as the rapture will immediately be with him in his presence. Those of us who die before Christ comes back, our spirit will immediately be with Christ in his presence. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
What's the proof of this hope? He is risen as he said.
Amen.
He's risen as he said. Now look at verse number 5. Who are kept by the power of your goodness. Thank God it doesn't say that. This inheritance and this hope, how is it kept? How is it protected? How are we kept in the state of this hope? We are kept by the power of God. It's a free gift of salvation. And when we enter into it, I am not kept by my goodness. I am kept by his power. He is risen as he said. Listen, he kept that promise to humankind when very few believed in that promise. He kept it because he is truth. And he keeps us. When we trust in him for our salvation, we are kept by the power of God through faith into salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. One day, it is all going to become sight. We walk by faith and not by sight, but one day, my friend, Jesus is going to flip that light switch, and all of a sudden now we are going to see him face to face. He is risen, as he said. And I'm telling you what, the thing in heaven that's going to be the most familiar is not what we see, because we've never seen it. We're not going to understand it. The thing that is going to be most familiar in heaven is his voice, because we know it now. We've never seen his face, but we've heard his voice over and over and over and over again. And we are going to praise him forever and ever and ever. What a God.
Amen.
What a Savior. Everybody bow your heads, please, and close your eyes. He is risen, as he said.